Before I get started on tonight's message, which will go along in some sort with this morning's, I do want to say something concerning this morning's message. May have misspoken. I haven't listened to it, but I did not mean that if your child is homosexual, that you shouldn't have them in your house. What I was thinking was you do not have them and their partner spend the night in your house, and there's people doing that, and that it's just horrible. But that's what I meant. Again, I didn't listen to the message, but that's what I meant to say. Habakkuk chapter 3, the book of Habakkuk, is one of those rarely read books amongst God's people. It's a book that most of God's people are unfamiliar with. Some may not even know it's in the Bible. But like all the Word of God, it is relevant to our day. It is a unique book in the sense that the entire book is basically a dialogue between Habakkuk and God. We want to look tonight at verses 17 through 19. We've preached from these verses before, and we've preach the verse that we'll stress and the thought that we've stressed before. But in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, again, Habakkuk talking to the Lord, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olives shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon my high places. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. I want to take the thought tonight from these very last words, the book of Habakkuk, the concluding words from the heart and mouth of this prophet Habakkuk. They are the words of a man who has heard from God, has experienced God, no doubt has the grace of God upon his life. They are words that express personal intention, yet I will. They are words that express personal assurance in what the Lord would do. What we read here is wonderful words that declare the opportunity, the ability that God's people possess in the Lord. They're words of strength, rejoicing, and encouragement for God's people. We want to take the thought from He will make my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk upon the high places. David said the same thing in 2 Samuel 22, verse 34. He said, He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. And then he repeated that in Psalm 18, verse 33. Hundreds of years between David and Habakkuk. But they both say basically the same thing. No doubt both had seen these mountain animals such as the female deer and the sheep or the antelope or mountain goat walking up the side of a mountain or standing on the side of a mountain. And no doubt they had this picture in their mind. And it's a wonderful picture. It's an amazing picture to see these animals standing on the side of a mountain. I mean, how do they do that? And they apply this personally. They use this analogy in their life. We want to speak tonight on stationed in the high places. We spoke this morning on the day and age in which we live. And we really can't change that, the day and the age which we live. It's not an accident, the day and age in which we live. But we can stand. We can be stationed in the high places. We don't have to live down here in this mess. We can live above it. And we see the book of Habakkuk is set basically the same as Isaiah, just prior to Babylonian captivity. So Habakkuk and Isaiah are in the same day and age. And he begins in chapter 1, in verse 1, he says, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see." The Lord showed Habakkuk something, and it was something that greatly burdened Habakkuk. God showed Habakkuk the sin of Judah. And this was something that greatly burdened his heart. As you read on in chapter 1, we see that he mentions violence in verse 2. That is brutality, savagery, hostility, turbulence. He mentions iniquity. Verse 3, that which is twisted and perverted. He mentions the fact that it was a time of grievance, injustice, unfairness, a time of spoiling, that is damage and ruin, wreckage, time of strife, that is time of conflict and hostility. It was a time of spoiling, we see also there in verse 3. Time of spoiling, a time of ruin, time of wreckage. It was a time of strife. It was a time of contention. He went on to say the law is slacked. That is, what laws there were not put into execution. Judgment doth never go forth. And the wicked doth compass the righteous. The purpose to ensnare them. We read of wrong judgment proceedeth. That is, judgment is against the good and for the wicked. This is the day and age that Habakkuk was living in. From chapter 2, we learn that it was a time of, just like in Isaiah's time, a time of widespread greed, time of arrogant self-assertion, again, a time of inhumanity, drunkenness, degeneracy, perversion, chaos. And God reveals all these things to Habakkuk. And out of frustration, Habakkuk begins to question God. And we see that in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He's asking God Why don't you answer? Again, Isaiah 59:1. The Lord's arm is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But Habakkuk wants to know, why don't you answer when we call upon you? Why do you show me these things? Why do you show me this sin and yet do nothing to deliver us from it? Chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, God answers Habakkuk. And it wasn't what Habakkuk was expecting to hear. God basically tells Habakkuk in those verses, I'm going to do something about the sin in Judah. I'm going to punish Judah by raising up the Babylonian nation. Babylonian captivity is coming. And this troubles Habakkuk even further. And Habakkuk responds in verses 12 through 17 of chapter 1. And basically what Habakkuk says is, Lord, I know that you have the power to do this, and because you've said it, I believe that you will do it. But Lord, I don't understand how you could do things that way. He goes on and he says, God, you are holy. You can't stand the sight of evil. So why would you use an even more evil nation than ourselves to punish your own people? That was Habakkuk's issue. Was how can a holy God use a nation more wicked than Judah to punish Judah? And Habakkuk is telling God, it doesn't make sense. So he's arguing with the Lord. He's not in a very good place. And his heart and his mind is filled with these questions, and he just doesn't understand how or why God would use even a more wicked nation to punish his own people. So God's answer to Habakkuk concerning why don't you do something about this sin just doesn't seem right to Habakkuk. May I say, if what God says doesn't seem right, you're wrong. It's just as simple as that. And God's answer seemed contrary to everything Habakkuk believed about God. So in chapter 2 and verse 1, we see that Habakkuk goes upon his high tower, and he would just wait for God to further reveal himself. That's a good practice. What he does is he draws himself apart and he waits for God. And during that time, God begins to show himself to Habakkuk. And he assures Habakkuk that he was there and that he did care. And from chapter 3, verse 17, it's very obvious that God had shown Habakkuk what would be the outcome of his judgment. The fig tree will not blossom, neither the fruit tree shall be in the vines. There was going to be a famine. So God revealed this to Habakkuk, that there would be total devastation to the economy of Judah. So there's the book begins. God, or Habakkuk, is basically arguing with God. But by the time we get to chapter 3, Habakkuk's in a different place. Ever since he went up to the high tower to wait for God, Habakkuk is no longer where he was at the beginning of the book. He's no longer in a state of confusion. He's no longer in a state of human reasoning. And here we are in this day and age, and it is a day and age of confusion, a day and age of despair. But we as God's people should not be confused. We as God's people should not be in despair. Habakkuk now has a new attitude. He has a new spirit. And he speaks with great assurance concerning what the Lord has revealed to him. The name Habakkuk means he that embraces. He that embraces. And by the time you get to chapter 3, Habakkuk has embraced God. That's what we need to do in this day and age. God's people need to embrace God. We don't need to embrace the day and the age. We need to embrace God. Habakkuk is now embracing what God said. That's what we need to do. We need to embrace what God has said, not what fools are saying. You need to just embrace what God has said and hold on. So by the time you get to chapter 3, we hear Habakkuk say in our text, "The Lord, the Lord." That's where his focus is in our text, "The Lord. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon the high places." Habakkuk is embracing what God has said to him. And now he says, "The Lord, he will. The Lord, he will." His faith, his trust is in the Lord. Habakkuk has this knowledge that judgment is coming. We also have that knowledge tonight. The United States is already under the judgment of God. But there is a more severe judgment coming. And we know that. There should be no denying that. And Habakkuk knows that. And he says, "The Lord, he will." So his focus is not on the impending judgment. His focus is upon what God will do for him during such time. That's where our focus needs to be as well. You know, people are always, they kind of murmur and complain, "Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard." God has always enabled his people to serve in the time in which they live. He's always done that. He's not going to stop. The remnant is usually small, but God is faithful to his people. The day and the age does not change that. So here's Habakkuk. He has this knowledge that the fearful and even nightmarish is coming. And if you know anything, and I know you do, if you know anything about the Bible, you know anything about history, you know that judgment is coming. You know that the fearful and nightmarish is coming. But we as God's people cannot be overcome with fear. We must be overcome with this. The Lord, He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon the high places. In other words, the Lord will enable me to live for Him in this day, in this age. These are words of great assurance that we read here in the book of Habakkuk. In chapter 3, Habakkuk, with this knowledge that destruction, devastation is on the horizon. And you know, there's people that get upset if you don't paint a rosy picture of hope for America. They get all upset. Well, they need to wake up and know the pattern of the Word of God in history. So he knows this is coming. He knows there's great trouble coming. Great affliction is coming. Misery is coming. They're already in misery, but greater misery is on the horizon. He has this knowledge that, yes, life is a hassle now, but it's going to get worse. Everything is so complicated, but it's going to get worse. And he has this knowledge, and he says in verse 17, although. I like that word. Although. Even though. And then you skip several words. Although. Yet. Although, even though, yet. Or in spite of. At the same time. I will. I will. Not waiting to see what everybody else does. I will. Personal intention. I will rejoice. He wasn't rejoicing in chapter 1. But it was after God further revealed Himself to Habakkuk in chapter 2. And He says, I will rejoice. Habakkuk, what will you rejoice in? Will you rejoice in the fact that the fig tree shall not blossom? Will you rejoice in the fact that fruit shall not be in the vines, or the olive fail, or the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls? Are you happy about that, Habakkuk? What are you rejoicing in? He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. God's people can always rejoice in the Lord. There's a lot of things that you and I do not rejoice in. But we rejoice in the Lord. And we can rejoice in the Lord when all of these other things are still going on. Although, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Habakkuk, how can you do that? He tells us, verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. That's how you do not become a victim of the day and age. You lean upon God. You draw from His strength. The Lord God is my strength. People say often, and I tell them the same thing every time, I'm trying so hard. Quit trying. Just depend on God. Lean upon Him. Lean upon Him. The Lord God is my strength. And then He says, He has my strength, will make my feet. My ordinary feet. He will make my ordinary feet like hinds' feet. He'll give me a special ability to walk where others cannot walk. He'll give me, Habakkuk says, a special ability to stand where others cannot stand. He will give me hinds feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Now the analogy has three parts. Part number one is a hind. Again, in Bible days, that could be what was known as a small red deer, or could be a sheep, could be an antelope, a mountain goat, animals of that nature. And again, Habakkuk had seen these animals scampering up the steep slopes. He'd seen them scampering up the mountains. And this is what came to his mind under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The second part of the analogy is feet. Hinds' feet. It was a cloven hoof that would spread out quite widely. It actually gave them grip in their feet. In other words, they were very sure-footed. We've all seen pictures. It just amazes me how an animal can stand on the side of a cliff. And they're sure-footed. And Habakkuk is saying, even though all these other things happen, God will make me sure-footed. In other words, I don't have to be a victim of the day and age in which I live. God will give me ability to stand. Because of the way God made their feet, when they were chased by a predator, they could escape safely up the steepest rocky slopes where other animals could not go. Other animals couldn't go there. They'd fall off. And they could stand in the most precarious and difficult places. And I believe God has given His people that ability. They can stand. You may think, I can't handle this. I can't stand. Oh, but you can. Because it's not you, it's the Lord. The Lord is my strength. They're able to move across impossible terrain, climbing again the steepest cliffs. So the Lord gives the hind feet that could move them above everything else. Has not God done the same thing for you and I? He puts them, their feet, gives them the ability to climb higher and puts them in a superior position. Because of the way God made them, in time of danger, this is amazing, they can run up that cliff and never get off track, not even by an inch. Not even by an inch. Their back feet land where their front feet were. They stay on track. Why? Because that's how God made them. God's people today, in this day and age, can stay on track because of the way that God makes us. He gives us hinds feet. I'm sorry, it just doesn't work to say, well, I fell because it's just the day in which we live. That's a cop-out. Because you can stay on track. But it's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. And the world is bent on getting us off track. And it's easy to get off track. He will make me to walk upon high places. He'll make me live there. High places. The air is different. It's not the same air up in the mountain as it is down below. The view is different. All the distractions, they're down there. But we have the ability to be up here. High places. Places of safety. Yes, this is a very perilous time. That's what the Bible calls them. Perilous times. But God has not left His people without places of safety. These are places of optimism and hopefulness and confidence and victory, the high places. And God's given us the ability to live there. They're places of strength. They're places of stability. Just because we live in this day and age doesn't mean your family has to fall apart. Because there are places of stability. And God gives us the ability to get to those places. Places of steadiness and firmness. Places of elevation. Where we can live above all that's going on. Yes, we're burdened about the day and age in which we live. And if we're honest, we're somewhat worried about the day and age in which we live. We're very concerned about the day and the age in which we live. But you and I can live above all of it in the Lord's strength. We don't have to live down here in the mess. We can excel and go beyond the problems of the day and the age. The high places are places of joy. They're places of rest. They're places of peace. And these places exist for you and I. There's places of victory. In a world set at enmity to our souls, in a world where we encounter fierce, continual opposition, in a world where we are engaged in a fierce spiritual warfare, in a world that is filled with spiritual peril, there are God-provided places of safety. And God has given us the feet to get to those places and to live in those places. In a world that has strength zapping power, in a world of weariness, there are God provided places of strength. And God has made these places accessible, has given us the ability to get to them. In a world filled with shifting sand, instability, chaos, there are God-provided places of stability and steadiness. In a world filled with uncertainty and skepticism and doubt, there are God-provided places that are unshakable and unwavering. In a world filled with upheaval, disorder, disturbance, mayhem, there are God-provided places of order and tranquility. In a world of gloom and discouragement, there are God-provided places of optimism. In a world of bondage, there are God-provided places of freedom. In a world filled with overwhelming despondency and despair, there are God-provided places of hope. in a world filled with sorrow and grief and heartache, where God provided places of joy. In a world that will strip you of everything worthwhile. A world filled with spiritual deserts and poverty, where God provided places of abundant provision for our souls. In a world where most wander aimlessly in unending circles, there are some God-provided places that give us purpose in our life. In a world filled with defeat and hindrance, there are God-provided places of victory. These places, they're elevated above this world. But they are not so elevated that they can't be reached. God has given us hinds feet. These are places that are, they're glorious places for the child of God. And God has made our feet like hinds feet. And we can scale. We can ascend to these places. And we stand in these places. Everything looks different. Everything feels different. If you're in this world and you're down on the world's level, you don't get a clear view. You got to rise above. And then you can see things as they really are. And you see God. They not only look different from the high places, everything feels different from the high places. We can drive our vehicle or you can walk down the street. And you will see things that are disturbing. And they can ruin your day if you let them. And you can get very, very disturbed. When that happens, you need to ascend to the high place. And you need to look at things differently. And what you see in the high place is God is going to put an end to it all. God is going to be glorified. And we rejoice in the Lord. Because God has given us hinds feet, we are able to walk in the high places. The high places. It's where the world can't get. The world can't get there. Just like the antelope that goes up the side of a cliff, the lion can't go where that antelope's going. We get to places that this world cannot get to. And we can live in those places. One of those places is the greatness of God. It's a good place to live. Just soak in the greatness of the Lord. His holiness. His omnipotence. His sovereignty. His love. His grace. His mercy. His goodness. And you know what? The Lord has made our feet like hinds feet. We can grip those things. We can get a hold of those things. We can stand in those things. We can walk in those things. And life is different. Attitudes are different. There's the high place of what we have in Jesus Christ. All the blessings that you and I have in Jesus Christ. We can get a grip on those things. We can stand in those things. We can walk in those things. And when we do, life is different. Life is different. There's the high place of the Word of God. It's elevated above all the error and all the lies and all the deception and all the confusion that's down below. And we can get a grip on the Word of God. And when we do, there's sustenance there. There's food there. There's guidance. There's protection. There's admonishment. There's everything we need in God's Word. You see, as God's people, we need to turn to God. We need to follow Christ. We need to turn to His Word. And that'll keep us from getting sucked in by the day and age in which we live. So in the midst of our day and age, God has provided some high places. And God has given us hinds feet, enabling us to reach those places. Those places are within reach of the child of God. You watch the news, you listen to a bunch of idiots, don't know anything, and you need to get to the high place of God's Word and stand there and begin to walk there. These high places are unaffected by what goes on below. You see, the high places aren't affected by the fig tree not blossoming, or the fruit tree, or the olive tree, or fields, or herds. The high places aren't affected by that. We look around what's going on in our day and age. God isn't affected. What I have in Christ is not affected. Doesn't change God's Word one iota. There's encouragement for the child of God. It's in the high places that we experience amazing things. We all live below our spiritual privileges, our spiritual opportunities. We live below our riches in the Lord. But in the high places, we can experience some amazing things. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 13, he's talking about Israel. He says, He made him ride on the high places of the earth. What a ride. It's better than trudging through the day and age which we live. But we can ride in the high places of the earth that he may eat the increase of the fields. He made him suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. There's amazing, and he goes on, but there's amazing, amazing provision in the high places. We can live there. We can live there. Why in the world would I choose to live in the things that are going to destroy me when I can live above it all in the high places? And as children of God, and that small remnant that always exists, God's always had a small remnant. I take great encouragement in that. You can look at it two ways. You can look at it and say, oh, this is horrible. There's just so few. You can look at it that way. It's true. Or you can look at it another way. Thank you, Lord, that there are a few. Thank you, Lord, that there are a few. Would you cause me to be amongst the few? But it's this remnant, this people that are few. They live in high places. They don't get drugged down into the day and age in which we live. They don't get sucked in by all the philosophies in the air. And it doesn't faze them when someone says, well, you know that's really not the opinion of most people. Well, good, then I know I'm on pretty safe ground. They don't get sucked in by the opinions and the philosophies. They don't feel like they have to get involved in that nonsense. They live in the high places. And because they live in the high places, they're a remnant that's faithful to God. So we need to ask ourselves, where do we stand? Where are we standing? Where are we walking? The Lord's given us hind feet. He's given us the ability to reach the high places, to stand in the high places. These are God-provided places. And we know where they are. We know where they are. Again, God's Word is a high place. Why would you turn anywhere else? Well, I'm going to read such and such a book. It tells all about what's going on today. Read this book. It also tells you what's going on today. And it tells you how to get through it. Well, I'm going to read a book on marriage. The man's been divorced 7 times, but he knows all about it. Well, you fool. Why don't you read God's book? It's a high place. Don't get drug in by all the hype and what culture is trying to sell. Almost everybody's buying it, but you don't have to. You and I don't have to. We can live in the high place. Well, if I live in a high place, I'll be all by myself. No, you won't. There's a remnant. And that's where they live. You won't be by yourself. And even if there weren't any other people, you still wouldn't be by yourself because that's where God is. So here we are in this day and age. And it's time to get to the high place. It's time to ascend to the high places. It's time to stand there. It's time to live there. It's time to determine I'm here in this high place and there is nothing that's going to drag me down. Why? Because the Lord is my strength. I'm going to depend on Him. I'm not going to lean on my own strength. I'm going to depend on Him. I'm going to do what He says and just trust Him that He'll do what He says. That's how you and I are to live in this day, in this age. And again, it is a trying time, difficult time, a dangerous time. But God, in His wise providence, not to punish me, not to punish you, not to make your life miserable, has put us in this day and age. Well, why did He do that? So that we would serve Him. Well, why didn't God put me in some other century? Because He didn't think it was wise to do so. In His wise providence, this is where He's placed you. We need to get a hold of that and realize that we're here to serve God. We don't have much time left. Whether we die or the Lord comes, either way, we don't have much time left. How are we going to spend that time? Moaning and groaning that there's so few? Or rejoicing? Although, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. There are few, but there's not as few as most of us think. We don't know every place. There are few, but again, it's not as many as we think. or it's more than we think. And I've got news for you. There's going to be fewer and fewer. That's the day and age in which we live. But that should have no bearing on I'm here to serve God. I'm here to declare God. Should have no bearing upon that. God help us to together serve the Lord. What I don't understand today is people who moan and groan about how few there are. The few there are, they spend their time attacking them. I don't understand. That doesn't make sense. There's so few of us, so we're going to kill off some. God help us to appreciate the few that there are. And God help us to pray, Lord, keep me in that few. And don't ever be ashamed of belonging to the remnant of the few. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't make any apologies for it. You know, the world's philosophy is if you don't have a large group, you don't have truth. Well, there's so many things that are contrary to that kind of reasoning. But the sad thing is God's people buy into it. And we must not. Just thank the Lord. When you see a faithful member of Home Baptist Church walk into this church building, you ought to thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving them the strength. Because they fought battles that day. We all have. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them here. Thank you, Lord, for letting me know them. Thank you, Lord, for letting me serve with them. So we need to appreciate one another more and more in this day, in this age. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song.